This show is brought to you by OffWorldDesigns.com. OffWorldDesigns.com is the place where you can find the nerdiest t-shirts and more at prices that won't break the bank. OffWorldDesigns.com offers shirts from all fandoms and hobbies, and even some other pretty cool stuff like messenger bags that can hold your plus one sort of awesome and so much more. You can use promo code GEEKSRULE to get 10% off your entire order. OffWorldDesigns.com is a proud sponsor of ThisWeekInGeek.net. Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geek, and this is, of course, the Nerd News Network. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. Today is Friday, October 17th, 2014. I turned 33 in 3 days. I'm getting old. You know, if this was Logan's Run, I'm pretty sure I'd be dead by now. But hey, it's like a midlife crisis in your 30s. Party on. Anyway, guys, hope you guys are having a fantastic week. I know I am. Lots of good stuff to actually talk about. Got a lot of housekeeping announcements right off the top of the show. First off, if you are in the Toronto area, you should be going to Buffer Festival. You can find out more information by going to BufferFestival.com. There's a lot of really big YouTubers in Toronto right now. Jake Roper from Vsauce 3 is there giving a presentation with Matt Santoro. I actually have an interview with Jake. You can actually hear that really late tonight or really early tomorrow. It'll be up on the site, so check out, obviously, thisweekingeek.net to find out more about that. Also, going to be Rhett and Link's going to be there. The Epic Mealtime guys are going to be there. Lots of good people. And it should be a really fantastic time. If you've ever been curious about YouTube content, want to get up and close with the creators, you can find out more information from BufferFestival.com. My next bit of housekeeping announcements. As you guys know, I like working with Toronto Sick Kids Hospital. And you guys know I'm a huge fan of the Ghostbusters franchise. Well, I'm working with the Ghostbusters. Well, the Ontario Ghostbusters, to be more accurate. On October 30th, at the Colossus Cinemas in Vaughan, out on Highway 7, there are going to be two showings of the original Ghostbusters movie up on the big screen. And the cost of this is about $13. Now, the really cool thing about this, there are two really cool things. The first one is there's going to be members of the Ontario Ghostbusters there, as well as a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man you can get your picture taken with. So that's pretty kick-ass. Second of all, 100% of all the proceeds will be going to the Toronto Sick Kids Foundation, basically helping them out in the best way possible. You can find out more information by going to thebigevent.ca. More information can be found up over there. Hopefully we'll have someone from the organization come talk to us next week before I begin my own charity event, which will be next Friday, beginning at 10 p.m. Eastern on my Twitch channel. Watch my Facebook and Twitter at BirdmanDodd to find out more information about that. If you want to donate to me, which goes directly to the kids, either way, all the kids are getting the money. It's birdmangivesback.com for more information. You can find out everything you need to know there. So, what are we going to be talking about this week? Well, we're going to find out who got offered a role in the new Ghost in the Shell adaptation, which is hopefully moving forward. We're also going to find out about The Walking Dead and its competition. How somebody found an incredibly rare magic card, and so have I. We're also going to be talking about HBO joining the 21st century. And finally, about the blind being able to see again, thanks to some pretty cool research. And we're also going to have a bonus round this week of Birdman's picks. We're going to be talking about the Playmates basic action figures for the comic turtles of Leonardo, Raphael, Donatello, and Michelangelo. So we'll talk about those at the end of the show. So I guess let's start off at the top of the show here. And that is talking about Scarlett Johansson being offered a role in Ghost in the Shell. Now, originally, the Wolf of Wall Street's actress, Margot Robbie, was said to be up for this role earlier this year. And I presume this is for the major of Major Katsuragi, or Kusanagi. Sorry, I always get those two mixed up. Anyway, so DreamWorks is said to have this offered to her, and this is going to be directed by Rupert Sanders, the same guy who did Snow White and the Huntsman, and a script by William Wheeler. So we're kind of hoping this could happen, because I can see Scarlett Johansson doing this. I mean, if you saw the movie Lucy last year, or if you've seen Captain America the Winter Soldier, she can pull off tough, serious, and still look awesome while doing it. And one of the people on my Facebook had said this is Hollywood whitewashing another role. I've never really seen the Major as being overly Japanese, and I don't think that's racist, because to me it was just a cool-looking piece of anime. Race never even really came into it for me. But if anybody could pull it off, I'd like a good actress like Scarlett Johansson to pull it off. I think it could really work. It could be incredible. Only other person I could think of, and I guess if they wanted to go with someone more of Asian descent, maybe Agent May from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Ming-Na, although I think she's a little too old for the role now. But Scarlett Johansson could definitely pull it off. I really hope this actually happens. This has been in the works for God knows how long. So I guess we're just going to have to wait and see if this actually does happen. Like I said, huge fan of the franchise, love the movies, love the anime show even more, standalone complex. And if you heard me talk with Christopher Sabat last week, there's Ghost in the Shell Arise, and I think he plays Bateau in that. And Bateau's a badass, so be checking that out. Wonder who they'd get for him. Alright, so if you were like me, last Sunday you watched The Walking Dead's Season 5 premiere. And if you haven't, seriously, stop this episode, go watch it right now, because holy shit is that intense. Like, I have not seen an episode of television that brutal since 24, and I thought what they did to the kids in Season 4 was intense. Nah, this was like, okay, maybe not as screwed up as that, but it was intense, and Carol is amazing. So, last year, when the show came into its Season 4 premiere, it had 20.2 million viewers. This year, it went up to 22.372 million people. Now, globally, the premiere saw a 45% increase over the season over the season four, and the AMC's ratings are increasing somewhere between 29 and 32% in total viewers, especially in the key demographic of 18 to 49 year olds. Wow. Season 5, honestly, now that they've kind of got it set up, they've got a lot to live up to before they go on their mid-season hiatus. And there's been a lot of rumors who's going to make it, who's going to die. And honestly, I don't even know, but if The Walking Dead can maintain this ratings juggernaut that it has become, Sunday nights are going to be ruled by AMC, as they were ruled with Breaking Bad. They've got this. I think the only other competition comes from Game of Thrones, which I think comes out next year, I think, in its whatever season. I'll talk about that in just a minute, though. I still haven't watched Game of Thrones. I really want to, so hey, guys, birthday's in 3 days. But in all honesty, though, I'm really, really surprised that The Walking Dead has maintained such a consistent viewership over the last couple years with its show, despite, you know, some episodes being better or worse than others. Some people actually checked out of the show after season two, which was affectionately known as the Talking Dead and The Farm Show. But once they got to the prison, once everyone got separated, the show got good again. And of course, David Morrissey as the governor. That was pretty badass. This year, we have a new bad guy named Gareth, because we didn't see him die. And it's in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler. Screw you. So yeah, I'm impressed. So, once upon a time, there was this game called Magic the Gathering. And there still is. And it's like millionth expansion right now. So anyway, there's this channel on YouTube. And I've linked the video below. And he got a booster box of the original Alpha, which came out all the way back in 1993 for Magic the Gathering. And so there were a number of very rare cards in there, such as the Sarah Angel, the Tropical Island. The most rare card is one called the Black Lotus. Now, only 1,100 of these cards were actually printed. Here's my story. I had one. I gave it away in high school. What's happened to this card in the midterm, I don't know. But let it be said that I am one of the biggest friggin' idiots you will ever meet when it comes to giving away valuable things. Some people might say it's my generous heart. Other people might say it's plain stupidity. I think the answer's somewhere in the middle. I'm pretty sure I probably traded it for a cheeseburger or $10. One or the other. Either way, I got screwed. So, this guy is opening it up, and like I said, this is a sealed booster box. So, when you watch the video, you probably want to skip to, I think it's around the 8:10 or 8:15 mark, and he finds two of the super rare cards. Now, the last time one of these things went on auction, I think it sold for something like $27,000 or something ridiculous like that. So this card is worth a metric crap ton. So this card, like I said, came out of a sealed box, sealed booster pack. So presumably this guy is going to have the card sealed and graded, which means this card can never be played. Well, it could if you have... There are ways to play with super rare cards if you put them in the right protective sleeve and if everything in that deck has it. And it's not one of the banned cards you can play. But still, that's astounding that a guy would find this. But then again, we don't know what's hiding in warehouses or in the back of comic book shops. You know, stuff that never quite sold or maybe got lost somewhere. In fact, a friend of mine, Chris, the guy who does the Gauntlet podcast with me, gave me a box of Star Trek cards. The old Star Trek the old Star Trek card game last year. So you never know. And when I went to the secret stash, I remember Walt mentioning, you know, there's tons of stuff just sitting in the basement. So who knows, man? There's probably more out there. We probably haven't found all of them. All I know is that I found one. I'm stupid, but I'm glad this guy found one and is actually going to get his money's worth. This would have got me out of debt in a rather large way. Anyway, now that I've depressed the crap out of you, let's move on. All right. So HBO, the wonderful cable network, the network that gave us The Wire, The Sopranos, and obviously True Detective, The Newsroom, Boardwalk Empire, and this little show you may have heard of called Game of Thrones. Well, these guys, my wife is saying Sex and the City. I don't consider that to be something great. I consider that rather a blight upon humanity. Actually, funny fact, Chris Noth this past week was actually quoted as calling Carrie a big whore. I think that was according to Gawker. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. The show sucks anyway. Now that I've been completely derailed, let's get back to what I was talking about. So anyway, CEO Richard Plepper, I'm not even sure how to friggin' pronounce that, has announced that in 2015, so next year, they're going to have a standalone streaming service. So kind of like Netflix, or kind of like Hulu. Now, there is an existing service called HBO Go, but it's tied to a cable subscription. But you can have that on your Xbox 360. There's ones to have it out on the Xbox One and PS4 in the future. But according to research, gaming consoles are the most popular way to access streaming television and movie content, beating out smart TVs and actual set-top boxes. So, according to Home Media Magazine, roughly 46% of broadband connected homes use a game console. So honestly, it's just easier to set up. You download the app, you pop in your information, bingo, bango, done. So, the CEO was quoted as saying, "This is a large and growing opportunity that should no longer be left untapped. It is time to remove all barriers to those who want HBO. So in 2015, we will launch a standalone over-the-top HBO service in the United States. We will work with our current partners, and we will explore models with new partners. All in all, there are 80 million homes that do not have HBO, and we will use all means at our disposal to go after them." This is going to kick cable right in the junk. But then again, you know, you can access these shows via Amazon Prime, too, if you have a subscription. You can actually, I think you can get HBO shows on there. I don't know whether you can get Game of Thrones, but, because we don't have that in Canada. Now, I know the odds of getting this in Canada are probably slim to none because of the movie network's deals that are in place. However, since I use a VPN, well, we're going to find out and see if I can afford another $5-$10 a month. But still, It would be great to have HBO content being able to stream in into the home, and I kind of wonder how their like back catalog is going to work, or how current it'll stay with. I mean, are they going to have episodes the day after they're up for, say, Game of Thrones or Boardwalk Empire, stuff like that? So I'm really curious, and I'm really glad that this are starting to launch their own service. But I wonder how this is going to affect broadcast. I really do. Because eventually that's going to have to be addressed at some point. All right, so finally, let's move on to my last story. And this one is really cool. This one comes out of the NPR from their health blog. And it says, embryonic stem cells are restoring vision in preliminary human testing. So they're using stem cells. And they have this test pool of about 18 patients, and about 9 of them have become legally blind over the course of, you know, having these incurable eye diseases. So either way, they started doing some tests with them, and the findings they have are actually quite cool. The patients had lost so much vision, there was no expectation these guys were ever going to recover, let alone make it worse, right? So one of the scientists, Stephen Schwartz, he's a UCLA eye specialist. The guy who led the study actually says he's very excited about it. So what it does, it's kind of like, I'm trying to figure out how I would explain this. They said it's kind of like a retinal transplant in essence. And I'm just going to read you a quote from I guess, Dr. Schwartz here. Eye specialist Schwartz. He says, what we did is we put them into patients who have a disease where those particular cells are dying, and we replace those dying tissues with new tissue that's derived from these stem cells. In a way, it's a retinal transplant. So what they're doing here is they took these cells, which are retinal pigment epithelial cells, and they infuse between 50,000 and 150,000 of these cells into the retinas of these patients, and they put them into, like I said, this where the patients where the cells are dying anyway. And they didn't expect this to happen. Some of them are reporting that they can see better. Some of them are saying they can see significantly better. Only one of them has gotten worse, and the other 7 are like, no real change. Now, there have been some side effects, but nothing too terrible. They've had to take those drugs that suppress the immune system, but nothing serious. So, this is pretty awesome. I'm really hoping that this does lead somewhere, because like I said, we all have a friend on the show who's blind. That's our friend Steve Saylor. I wonder what would happen if we enhanced his eyes like this. I don't know. Would he be able to see like you or I? I don't know. Or someone who can't see, if this could regenerate eye tissue. I don't know. I mean, this science is obviously well beyond what I understand from reading comic books and movies. So, I don't know. Exciting stuff. And I really hope something more comes out of this. So, go get them stem cell research. All right. Finally, as I promised, this is Birdman's Picks. And what this is, every other week or every week when I feel that I've got some extra time on the show, I will review a new product that I haven't had a chance to squeeze into a review show, or a review show should be coming, but we've just gotten too busy. And this summer just was more hectic than I expected. But this past week, I got some new stuff in the studio, and I wanted to take just a couple of minutes to talk about it here at the end of the show. So this week's Birdman's Pick comes to us from Playmates Toys, and we're going to be talking about the comic-inspired figures. And these are based upon their first appearance in the comics all the way back in 1984. So we're looking at comic Leonardo, Raphael, Donatello, and Michelangelo. These come on the standard card back you've come to expect from the new Nick Turtles line, but they do look a little bit different. So you get these, and they're in line with the other Turtles figures, approximately the same size. Maybe they're thinner in places. They're basically a little less bulky. I'm actually holding one up to a new Nick Raphael right now, and I can see the actual differences there. Now, the thing to note about this one, and this, it kind of sucks to say this, is all four bodies are the exact same. That includes posability, all the notch marks, etc. The only thing that is different are the head sculpts and the way the bandanas are on them. Now, it turns out, surprise, surprise, we've actually seen this mold before. If you went to San Diego Comic-Con, this was the mold that was used for the 30th anniversary Raphael that was in black and white this past summer. And I thought it was an alright figure, but the posability really hurts it. And here it continues to hurt it, simply because they don't have any articulation in the wrists. And that really kind of sucks, especially for, say, someone like Donatello, because it's hard for him to hold his bow staff in any really cool, meaningful pose. Yet for characters like, say, Leonardo or Raphael, it works fine. For Michelangelo, it also works. One other thing to note, as they do share all the same body type, they do not have any scabbards for Leonardo's katanas. There's also no places in the belt for Raphael's size. Then again, this is also in line with what we saw during the summer as well with the exclusive figure. Now, there have been other turtles that are based upon their original comic experience, and the most notable ones that I can think of are the ones by NECA, and those are expensive as crap right now if you want to find an actual set of those. So, considering these are at between the $8 and $10 price point, whether in the U.S. or Canada, it's really going to depend on what you want to do with it. I would actually consider these more for the collector as opposed to, say, your average kid for play, because I think the posability actually hurts them because there's not too much there. While the detail on these things is utterly fantastic, there's some nice etching on the shells that look like they've got scars on them, which is meant to be how they were drawn in the comics. But here, they look like scars. Look like someone beat the crap out of them with like a crowbar. But still, it works for the art style. So, I would recommend these for collectors only. Simply because there's not nearly enough variety in how different they look for, say, your like average kid. And I would recommend going after the other Nick Turtles if you wanted to have something to go with, say, your play sets or your turtle blimp. But if you're like me and you want something cool for your, like, cubicle, then having these would be kind of nice because you can get them with their weapons in a semi-cool pose. I mean, I've got Donatello with the staff pointing down, and I've got the other guys with their weapons at their side. So it looks like they're at the ready, but it looks okay, but not as nice as the posability we've seen with, say, the other turtles from this particular assortment. So, your mileage will vary. Just know we have seen this mold before, and I would almost recommend, in fact, I really would, if you want to get one representation of this line, go track down the Comic-Con exclusive. I think it's the best looking. The sides are nice and detailed on there as compared to these ones where they're just a solid metal color. These ones actually have details on the actual handles. So you could, like I said, get something a little bit nicer out of that. So anyway, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for this edition of the Nerd News Network. I've been Mike at the Birdman. Like I say, be sure to check out BirdmanGivesBack.com. Hopefully I'll see you guys at the screening on the 30th, and I will be streaming Sunset Overdrive over the next few days because I got it early and Microsoft loves me, so party on. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying live free or die hard, and I'll catch you guys again next time right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it!
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face! And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit.
Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! 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 Holy crap! Whoa! Whoa! Whoa, my god, whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender.